Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. It was interesting this morning in the prayer time, Marion pointed out that 5 years ago today was when the country was locked down for COVID. And my first wee bit this morning is about COVID time. So do you remember during COVID times there were new trends, including a daily walk, doing workouts, getting a dog for some people, and also painting your garden fence? So one person started painting their fence and others thought this was a good idea. And after this, there was actually a shortage of fence paint. I remember this. At one point, it felt like it was every man for themselves in the supermarket. People were fighting over food. Things like pasta, flour, butter, and even toilet rolls. And again, one person would suggest we needed hundreds of toilet rolls, and others followed. We can look back now and laugh at it, but we know there can be a danger in following what others tell us to do. In our world today, it feels like everyone is holding their breath to see what happens next. The power that some of our world leaders have is scary. And we know from past experience that one person can lead others into committing the most horrific acts. One example would be the Second World War and the rise of the Nazis. What happened to them? When in their mind did it become acceptable to kill people just because one person thought it was a good idea? I personally find it very difficult to find forgiveness for such leaders who allow people to be mocked, tortured, orphaned, killed. And those that carry out these acts are doing what they've been told. It's awful. And not just acts of war, but changing laws in countries so that the poorest people suffer. Today, the gap between the richest and the poorest is bigger than it's ever been, and it's still increasing. We feel helpless as we look on. How can we possibly be expected to forgive people that knowingly harm others? So how does this all relate to what we're talking about today? I said before that we're focusing on Luke chapter 23, verse 34. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Alison read for us from Luke chapters 23, verses 26 to 43, so that we get the context of when Jesus says this statement on the cross. And reading this bigger passage helps us to imagine how everything happened. Normally, the criminals who were being crucified would carry their own cross, but as we read, Simon of Cyrene was asked to carry the cross for Jesus. It suggested that Jesus was already weakened from being beaten by people. Crowds always gathered to see what was happening, but sometimes out of compassion, and Luke tells us in verse 27, that there was a large crowd of people who mourned and wailed for Jesus. We wonder how Jesus is feeling at this time. If we read a bit further back in Luke's Gospel, in chapter 22, we can read what's been happening up until this point. Jesus asked the disciples to stay awake while he was praying, but he came back to find them all asleep. He was disowned by Peter, one of his closest disciples. You can imagine that he's feeling quite isolated at this point. Then at the beginning of chapter 23, we read that Jesus is brought before Pilate, who does not find Jesus guilty of anything. So Pilate sends Jesus to Herod, who's pleased to have the chance to decide the fate of Jesus. Yet Herod also cannot find anything that Jesus has done wrong. Herod and his soldiers put a robe on him to make a mockery of this Jesus who thought he was a king before sending him back to Pilate. Again, Pilate declares Jesus has not committed any crimes. But instead of letting Jesus go free, Pilate listened to the crowd around him. The crowd shout for the crucifixion of Jesus. It was the Jewish chief priests and their followers that called for the death of Jesus. So we decided that Barabbas, an actual criminal, would not be crucified and Jesus would take his place instead. And we know that Pilate's decision had quite an impact on history. How alone Jesus must have felt as he walked along to his death. I think the first verse of Graham Kendrick's song, Come and See, captures the scene well. I've got it up here. Come and see, come and see, come and see the King of Love. See the purple robe and crown of thorns he wears. Soldiers mock, rulers sneer as he lifts the cruel cross. Lone and friendless now, he climbs towards the hill. When we read the account of the events leading up to Jesus being crucified, it does make us think about how easy it is to go along with the crowds, the majority, and not be the only voice saying something different. Yet, Jesus prays for the forgiveness of the people who crucify him. And he would have prayed this in his language in Aramaic. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. Some manuscripts don't include these words by Jesus, but Luke thought it was important to include them. We don't know for certain who the word them refers to. It could be the people who put Jesus on the cross, the rulers who decided on this, the soldiers who mocked him. It could be everyone that was involved. Jesus asks God to forgive them as they don't know what they are doing. They don't know God. They don't have the insight of the Holy Spirit. Then they divided his clothes up, as it was customary to do with all the criminals who were crucified. The soldiers mocked him. They treated him like any other criminal, yet he had done nothing wrong. How humiliating. These words of Jesus really showed that God needed to be here on earth. He needed to make that connection with humans. The divide was huge between God and humans. Jesus came to restore that relationship, to rid people of their sins, to close that gap between God and humans. One commentator that I read says that Jesus on the cross marks the end of the old way of life and the start of something new. Their sins have been forgiven. There will be a replacement of a life of sin by a life of spirit. The then that Jesus is praying for could be all of us. I wonder if the rulers that condemned Jesus to his death and the soldiers who carried it out realised later what had happened, that they had been involved in the killing of the Son of God. We read later in Luke in verse 47 of the Roman officer who witnessed the death of Jesus and who said, surely this was a righteous man. And one question we might raise is that could they have helped this? Jesus gave hints throughout his ministry about what was going to happen to him. Is it true that those who put him to his death didn't know what they were doing? Because from what we read in the Old Testament scriptures and from Jesus' words throughout his ministry, the death of Jesus was all part of God's plan. He had to die. Human ignorance had cut off the relationship between humans and God. Humans were just blindly stumbling along with others. This was the ultimate sacrifice to restore that relationship. We spoke in the All Together time about forgiveness. We talked about how it's sometimes easy to forgive, but at other times it's really difficult. Humans do wrong things. Again and again, we need to forgive each other. If you've ever brought up kids or looked after very young children, you might be able to relate to this constant need for forgiveness. You might find yourself saying, don't worry that you whacked mummy on the head with your toy, or that you splattered the walls and the clean clothes with your dinner. That was Emily with her bolognese. Now that my kids are a bit older, again and again, I pick up their dirty washing from various places around the house. Sweetie wrappers. I clean up muddy footprints from the carpet. Just now we have arguments about how much device time is acceptable. And then I say, you can't speak to me like that. I lose my patience. and get annoyed with them. There's lots of forgiveness needed in our day-to-day lives. God forgives us over and over again, and I don't think he loses his patience like I do. Every week we recite the Lord's Prayer, and perhaps sometimes we don't think about the words as we're saying them. They come so naturally to us. We normally say, "Forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors." This is taken from Matthew chapter 6, verse 12. And in Luke chapter 11, verse 4, we read, "Give us each day our daily bread, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us." And some people say that in different churches, that version. We're encouraged here to ask for forgiveness daily. In doing this, we also recognise what God has done for us. By his grace, our sins have been forgiven. Jesus speaks a lot about forgiveness. He teaches that we need to forgive each other, even if the other person hasn't said sorry. In the book of Matthew, chapter 18, verses 21 to 22, we read, "Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, 'Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to 7 times? Jesus answered, 'I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. Apparently, the rabbis at the time suggested that 3 times was enough. Peter wondered about 7 times. Jesus said 77 times. And why? Because God forgives us over and over and over again. One commentator says that Peter is referring to his own brother here, and it sounds like they must have fallen out quite a lot. We can look at this in the wider context of our brothers and sisters in our church family. We're part of a big church family. We may need to forgive each other over and over again. This can be hard. We can say, "I forgive you," yet when we see a person again, you might have those feelings returning. We might need to remind ourselves to forgive. One commentator that I read says that when we forgive with our heart, our head will eventually catch up. So we forgive with our hearts first, and then our head will catch up. And it takes practice. We've read how Jesus encourages us to be forgiven towards others, but it's easier said than done. Sometimes we can be angry towards God. Why has this happened to us? We ask, "What are you doing, God?" Some people go through such hard things. It seems never-ending, and we don't understand how God could allow this. We watch helplessly. Mary, the mother of Jesus, witnessed the beginning and end of her son's life. In John's Gospel, we're told that Mary was there at the cross watching Jesus die. This must have been very difficult for her. She knew from the start that Jesus would be no ordinary person. When she presented Jesus in the temple as a small boy, Simeon spoke of what would happen in the future. He told Mary that her soul would be pierced. He was referring to Jesus being crucified. Though she knew it wasn't going to be good, she must have felt helpless. She must have felt pain. How Mary must have clung on to the promises she had been given by God to get her through those times. I said before about how helpless we feel as we watch events going on in our world. The one thing we can do is pray. Prayer changes our hearts as well as lifting what matters to God. We cannot see the bigger picture, and we hope and pray that it is all for good. I'm going to read the final verse of Graham Kendrick's song. "Man of heaven, born to earth, to restore us to your heaven. Here we bow in awe beneath your searching eyes. From your tears comes our joy. From your death our life shall spring. By your resurrection power we shall rise." If we have done wrong things, they no longer have a hold on us. They have been wiped clean by Jesus. We are free. We've learned from Luke about the salvation of Jesus. Jesus needed to die to save us humans. People were blinded by sin and didn't know what they were doing. We've thought about how Pilate found that Jesus had done nothing wrong. Yet, according to Luke's gospel, it was the crowd that persuaded him to crucify Jesus. Do we just go along with the crowds? Jesus died the death of a criminal, yet he had done nothing wrong. Luke wants us to know that Jesus was innocent. He had no sin. Even one of the criminals beside him recognised this. Jesus' words on the cross asked for forgiveness. We should learn from Jesus' example and practice forgiving others whenever we can. It doesn't matter if you've turned away from God for years and years. Look at the criminal who declared his faith in Jesus in his last hours. God's forgiveness is for everyone, no matter how young or old we are, how long we've been a Christian for. Not saying sorry can ruin relationships, but not forgiving can ruin your relationships or ruin your life even more. Have you noticed before that if you hold a grudge against someone, they probably don't even realise? It's just us that suffers. If we can let go of that, it will help us. Let us ask God to help us have peace with things that can crop up. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that we can come before you in our weaknesses. We are human and we make mistakes. We say wrong things. We do wrong things. We thank you that you forgive us. We lift anything on our hearts that we're feeling regret about to you just now. Thank you for your forgiveness, Lord. We thank you for that ultimate sacrifice you made. Jesus died for us on the cross. Lord God, we ask that you help us to forgive others who have done wrong to us. There are some situations that are so hard to forgive. We don't want to forgive. Soften our hearts, Lord. May we see a different perspective. Those who have wronged us, may we remember that they are your children too. We think of situations now where we need your strength, your courage, and your peace. Please take these burdens from us, Lord. We lift these to you now. In the words of Psalm 139, we pray, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Amen.